This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, well, well. Conversations with WellSelf, your local primary health organisation, supporting and empowering local healthcare providers.
Well, going smoke-free is a challenge for those who are smoking. And of course, over the years, there have been many initiatives to help us along the way. It's time now to bring ourselves up to date with the supports that are available for us around this topic. Joining us in the studio, Anita Clouston and Andrew Marbrow. Kia ora, nice to have both of you with us. Thanks for coming in.
Kia ora, thank you for having us.
Let's talk about you guys for a start. Anita, tell us about your role. Now, you're with Access and Choice, right?
Yes, with Access and Choice. So my role is as a team leader for the health coaches and community support workers employed by WellSelf. I've been a health coach myself, been in the program for about 5 years now.
All right. Andrew, your role?
I'm a stop smoking coach. I work for Southern Stop Smoking. So basically I've been in the role about 4.5 years. And our role is to help people when they want to stop smoking and just help them guide along the way and help them with strategies and help supply them NRT and sort of just be an external person to help them set their goals and get there.
Well, good to know that there are professionals working out there to support people who want to make that change. So if someone was to see a professional like a coach or an HIP, what would that look like? What would the first session be? What's coaching like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I might start a little bit generally with what a health improvement practitioner is and a health coach is. So they are available in most GP practices. They are free to see, and you don't need to see a GP to access any of this support. You can ring the reception if you've got a HIP or a health coach on board and book in a free session. It can be for anything, so it might be around smoking cessation, or it might be some of those things that go around smoking cessation as well, like when you change your smoking, you might notice increased anxiety, hard to get to sleep, appetite increases, so it might be around setting some new goals or learning some new strategies around changing smoking.
And for those who do that, Anita, what do those conversations look like kind of at the front end?
Those conversations are really led by the person and what's on top. We might support a conversation with the GP as well. So it might be you might be looking to start some NRT, some patches, gum and lozenges, or some of the medications to help change your smoking, and we can help liaise with the GP. It might be a referral onto the Southern Stop Smoking Service, so connecting you in with other organisations. It might just be finding out what's on top, coming up with a plan to change the behaviour around smoking or vaping.
Right, so let's talk specifically about smoking. How do health coaches help people with changing their smoking?
So they would, you'd have an appointment with the health coach, and they will look at, ask you some questions around your habits, some of those things around your self-belief, and help support a tailored behaviour change plan. You'll go home with a goal and a plan to action for the next 7 days.
Is that a free service?
100% free service.
So that's good to know, because often people thinking about consulting professional advice, you know, do worry about the potential cost to them. Goodness knows that smoking's expensive enough as it is probably. So this is where you come in, right, Andrew? Tell us about the Southern Stop Smoking Service.
Okay, well, the Southern Stop Smoking Service is a free service, so that's a big plus. So when we get referrals from other services or people can self-refer, we'll work with a client over a number of months, so it's not a one-off consult. We sort of work with them in a whole journey across their stopping smoking. We'll go in and see them on the first consult and sort of get their whole story together, understand why they want to stop smoking and what their goals are. And we'll give them strategies and tips. And like I said, we supply nicotine replacement therapy as well. We go and see them in their homes. We'll see them in workplaces. We have offices that they can come and see us. So like I said, it's a mobile service that way. And just to be generally being that external person that can come in and give them that advice and keep them, see them every week. People tend to feel a bit accountable if we come along every week and know that, you know, they can stick to their goals and oh, I better be, you know, I'll keep trying because Andrew's coming next week, so I'll keep doing that. So, yeah, just being that extra person and giving them some ideas and helping them with their strategy.
It strikes me that relationship's pretty important, right?
It is. Building up that rapport that you know that they can trust us. It's a very positive environment and stuff. We're not trying to blame them or anything. We're just trying to help them with their own personal journey when everybody's different on how they get there.
And many stumble along the way, right? It's not just a case of, oh, I'm doing very well this weekend.
Yeah, that's it. And when we're there to help them, support them, to say, look, you can fall off and that happens, but let's get back on the horse and let's keep going. And maybe we need to change your nicotine replacement therapy or help them with a different idea of how to think about it. And like we said, we just sort of evolve with them and their journey.
There's a lot of conversation in the community about vaping at the moment. It's smoke-free May. Conventionally, we've been thinking about that in relation to tobacco smoking. But what about vaping?
Well, I mean, so I suppose smoking and vaping are similar in the fact that there's nicotine involved, which is an addictive substance. But smoking and vaping is a little bit different. Smoking is sort of more ritualistic, I suppose you'd say. People get a smoke, roll a smoke, go outside, have this smoke, come back in, and that's them done for an hour. Where vaping is much more constant, and you graze on a vape. So people become unconscious that they're actually vaping and how much they vape. So one of the things we do to start with is trying to get them to understand how much they vape if they're trying to stop, is to do things like set rules, like I'm only going to vape every hour because they're not conscious of it. So we need to understand how much nicotine they're getting if we're going to try and help them to use either nicotine replacement therapy or something like that. So, yeah, there is a difference that way, but it's still a nicotine-based addiction.
Does that sit well with you, what Andrew said, Anita?
100%. It makes a lot of sense. It's a really good way of explaining it.
Yeah. This is something perhaps both of you can talk about. Why is it so hard to give up smoking? You know, what are the barriers?
There are so many barriers. We do not learn how to smoke overnight, so learning not to smoke doesn't happen overnight either. It takes a lot of practice. There is so many different reasons why we smoke. It's never just about the smoking. It's about the way that we've used it to support us. You know, it's about taking that break. It's about getting out of the office. It's about taking a break from your kids because you're going outside to have a smoke. There's so many things that can take us back to smoking. It's like a best friend, I think, that we hear quite often.
People come quite – it's a bond. It's a thing that they do and it's become such a part of their life. It's like letting go of a friend. And come down to it, I mean, nicotine is an addictive substance. So you throw that on top of all the behavioural things and the habit side of things, it makes it a difficult thing to do.
I was just sort of throwing myself back into my younger days too. And, you know, it did feel like you were doing it because you were told not to as well. And you know, there's an element of rebellion about it, which can – people don't like to be told what to do, right? So this is, you know, the work that you do needs to – I guess you need to manage that carefully, right?
Yeah. So getting to understand the personality of the person that's trying and what's motivating them to want to smoke or not want to smoke. Like, I mean, you know, being told to stop smoking is something that people who do smoke really arc up against.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so understanding what it's doing to them as well.
Yeah, and getting them to be that it's their journey and they understand it's them that want to stop and it's not, you know, the health professionals that are forcing them to do so.
Let's talk about success stories, if you like. I mean, I guess you do see them here. Do you have, you know, some examples of people you've dealt with and, you know, how that journey's been for them?
Probably a good example is I had a client who'd retired and the finance side of smoking was the big motivator to stop. So we discussed, the strategies and they did manage to stop. And one of the things we talked about was using the money they would have spent on a goal or something they wanted to do. So after a couple of years, they've I think they've just recently come back from a river cruise in Europe. So they put their money towards that and got a big goal. So that big motivator at the end of using your money to do something can be a big motivator for people.
That's really interesting because, you know, again, when I was a younger person, smoking wasn't inexpensive, but it isn't as expensive as it is now. I don't. What does it cost for a packet of 20 cigarettes now?
About $40.
What? So that can make a real difference.
Yeah. I mean, if people are smoking three packets a week, that's, you know, you can do the math.
And I can only imagine that, you know, if someone, you know, who's genuinely stuck in this trap of smoking but also can see the impacts financially on family and so forth, there must be elements of guilt associated with that as well.
Yeah, certainly there is. And, you know, people who don't have a lot of money tend to find money for smoking. So when they do actually give up and they get that freedom of that extra money, it can really – a lot of self-worth can come out of that and self-improvement.
Yeah. So there's financial, but of course there's the health benefits as well, which seem to be the most obvious. But, again, it's not always enough for people to get them over the line and make that decision and make a change in their life. So if some of our listeners are smokers, and I'm no doubt that there are smokers out there who are listening to the show right now, and they say to themselves that they think they can do this, make that change, what's the best next course of action?
I think getting someone involved, whether it's talking to a friend or our health coaches that are available, Southern Stop Smoking Service, if NRT patches, gum and lozenges are for you, we're more likely to be successful if we've got some other support on board. And I think just making one step in having a smoke-free environment, one thing that I really like is each person's plan is really individualised to them. So, for example, I've had people that have put their smokes and their vape in the boot of their car to help them create their car as smoke-free. I've worked with a person that's been living on a farm, and I love how creative people's ideas become. You know, they've put it in a Ziploc bag 2 kilometres down from the house and nailed it to a tree. Just any way that sort of promotes a bit of a smoke-free environment, anything that works for the person.
Presumably your GP is someone who can steer you in the right direction?
100%.
And you might have an HRP associated with the practice as well?
Yep, and a health coach.
Yeah. Andrew, any top tips from you?
Oh, look, number one, as Anita said, take a step. Take the first step by talking to someone. But as a tip for stopping smoking, just starting, is to do a bit of what we call a delay. So if you smoke after you have your evening meal, say, just leave it for 10 minutes one day, and then 20 minutes the next, and then 30 minutes the next till you have a cigarette. And then what happens is your brain sort of starts to disengage with the habit of when to trigger you to smoke. So that's a simple starting point that's not unattainable.
A great tip, and just one of a number I'm sure that you can offer if you do strike up that relationship with any of the people that are out there to help you stop smoking. Anita Clouston and Andrew Marlborough joining us here on ORFM this morning for our Well, Well, Well segment. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing supporting people and making what is, you know, a difficult change for many. And we appreciate the fact that you've given your time here to come and see us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, Well, Well. If you'd like to hear more conversations with the team at Well South, look for Well, Well, Well podcast from oar.org.nz or on your favourite podcast provider. We'll be back again in 4 weeks. Catch you then.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.